Hello everyone to the data quality panel. Data quality matters because more and more people out there rely on our data being in good shape. So we're gonna talk about data quality. And there will be four speakers who will give short introductions on topics related to data quality, and then we will have a Q&A. And the first one is Lucas.
Thank you. Hi, I'm Lucas, and I'm going to start with an overview of data quality tools that we already have on Wikidata and also some things that are coming up soon. And I've grouped them into some general themes of making errors more visible, making problems actionable, getting more eyes on the data so that people notice the problems, fix some common sources of errors, maintain the quality of the existing data, and also human curation. And the ones that are currently available start with property constraints. So you've probably seen this if you're on Wikidata. You can sometimes get these icons which check the internal consistency of the data. For example, if one event follows the other, then the other event should also be followed by this one, which on the Wikidata item was apparently missing. I'm not sure, this screenshot is a few days old. And there's also, if this is too limited or simple for you, you can write any checks you want using the query service, which is useful for lots of things, of course, but you can also use it for finding errors. Like if you've noticed one occurrence of a mistake, then you can check if there are other places where people have made a very similar error and find that with the query service. You can also combine the two and search for constraint violations in the query service, for example, only the violations in some area or wiki project that's relevant to you, although the results are currently not complete, sadly. There's revision scoring. This is from the recent changes. You can also get it on your watch list, an automatic assessment of, is this edit likely to be in good faith or in bad faith, and is it likely to be damaging or not damaging? I think those are the two dimensions. So you can, if you want, focus on just looking through the damaging but good faith edits. If you're feeling particularly friendly and welcoming, you can tell these editors, thank you for your contribution. Here's how you should have done it, but thank you still. And if you're not feeling that way, you can go through the bad faith damaging edits and revert the vandals. There's also, similar to that, entity scoring. So instead of scoring an edit, the change that it made, you score the whole revision. And I think this is the same quality measure that Lydia mentioned in the beginning of the conference. That gives, it's a user script up here and gives you a score of like 1 to 5, I think it was, of what the quality of the current item is. The primary sources tool is for any database that you want to import, but that's not high enough quality to directly add to Wikidata, so you add it to the primary sources tool instead, and then humans can decide should they add these individual statements or not. Showing coordinates as maps is mainly a convenience feature, but it's also useful for quality control. Like if you see this is supposed to be the office of Wikimedia Germany, and if the coordinates are somewhere in the Indian Ocean, then you know that something is not right there, and you can see that much more easily than if you just had the numbers. This is a gadget called the relative completeness indicator, which shows you this little icon here, telling you how complete it thinks this item is and also which properties are most likely missing, which is really useful if you're editing an item in your in an area that you're not very familiar with and you don't know what the right properties to use are, then this is a very useful gadget to have. And we have shape expressions, I think. Andra or Jose are going to talk more about those, but basically a very powerful way of comparing the data you have against the schema, like what statements should certain entities have, what other entities should they link to, and what should those look like. And then you can find problems that way. I think, no, there's still more. Integrality, or property dashboard, gives you a quick overview of the data you already have. For example, this is from the wiki project Red Pandas. And you can see that we have a sex or gender for almost all of the red pandas. The date of birth varies a lot by which zoo they come from, and we have almost no dead pandas, which is wonderful because they're so cute. So this is also useful. There we go. Okay, now for the things that are coming up. Wikidata Bridge, or also known, formerly known as client editing, so editing Wikidata from Wikipedia infoboxes, which will, on the one hand, get more eyes on the data because more people can see the data there, and it will hopefully encourage more use of Wikidata in the Wikipedias, and that means that more people can notice if, for example, some data is outdated and needs to be updated, instead of if they would only see it on Wikidata itself. There's also tainted references. The idea here is that if you edit a statement value, you might want to update the references as well, unless it was just a typo or something. And this tainted references tells editors that, and also lets other editors see which other edits were made that edited a statement value and didn't update a reference, and then you can clean up after that and decide, should that be, do you need to do anything more of that, or is that actually fine and you don't need to update the reference? That's related to signed statements, which is coming from a concern, I think, that some data providers have, that like there's a statement that's referenced to the UNESCO or something, and then someone vandalizes the statement and they're worried that it will look like this organization, like UNESCO, still set this vandalism value. And so with signed statements, they can cryptographically sign this reference, and that doesn't prevent any edits to it. But at least if someone vandalizes the statement or edits it in any way, then the signature is no longer valid, and you can tell this is not exactly what the organization said. And perhaps it's a good edit, and they should re-sign the new statement, but also perhaps it should be reverted. And also, this is going to be very exciting, I think. Citoid is this amazing system they have on Wikipedia, where you can paste a URL or an identifier or an ISBN or a Wikidata ID or basically anything into Visual Editor, and it spits out the reference that is nicely formatted and has all the data you want, and it's wonderful to use. And by comparison, on Wikidata, if I want to add a reference, I typically have to add the reference URL, title, author name string, published in, publication date, retrieved date, at least those. And that's annoying, and integrating Citoid into Wikibase will hopefully help with that. And I think that's all the ones I had. Yeah, so now I'm going to pass to Christina.
Hi, I'm Christina. I'm a research scientist from the University of Zurich, and I'm also an active member of the Swiss community. When Claudia Müller-Brin and I submitted this to the Wikidatacon, what we wanted to do is continue a discussion that we started in the beginning of the year with a workshop on data quality and also some sessions in Wikimania. So the goal of this talk is basically to bring some thoughts that we have been collected from the community and ourselves, and continue the discussion. So what we would like is to continue interacting a lot with you. So what we think is very important is that we continuously ask all types of users in the community about what they really need, what problems they have with data quality, not only editors, but also the people who are coding or consuming the data, and also researchers who are actually using all the edit history to analyze what is happening. So we did a review of around 80 tools that are existing in Wikidata, and we aligned them to the different data quality dimensions. And what we saw was that actually many of them were looking at monitoring completeness, but actually, and also some of them are also enabling interlinking, but there is a big need for tools that are looking into diversity, which is one of the things that we actually can have in Wikidata, and especially this design principle of Wikidata, where we can have plurality and different statements with different values coming from different sources, because it's a secondary source. We don't have really tools that actually tell us how many plural statements there are and how many we can improve on how, and we also don't know really what are all the reasons for plurality that we can have. So from these community meetings, what we discussed was the challenges that still need attention are, for example, that having all this crowdsourcing community is very good because different people attack different parts of the data or the graph, and we also have different background knowledge, but actually it's very difficult to align everything in something homogeneous because different people are using different properties in different ways, and they are also expecting different things from entity descriptions. People also said that they also need more tools that give a better overview of the global status of things. So what entities are missing in terms of completeness, but also like what are people working on right now most of the time. And they also mentioned many times a tighter collaboration across not only languages, but the wiki projects and the different Wikimedia platforms. And we published all the transcribed comments from all these discussions in those links here in the Etherpads and also in the wiki page of Wikimania. Some solutions that appeared actually were going into the direction of sharing more the best practices that are being developed in different wiki projects, but also people want tools that help organize work in teams or at least understanding who is working on that. And they were also mentioning that they want more showcases and more templates that help them curate things in a better way. And from the contact that we have from with open governmental data organizations, and in particular, I'm in contact with the Canton and the city of Zurich, they are very interested in working with Wikidata because they want their data to be accessible for everyone in the place where people go and consult or access data. So for them, something that would be really interesting is to have some kind of quality indicators, both in the wiki, which is already happening, but also in Sparkle results to know whether they can trust or not that data from the community. And then they also want to know what parts of their own data sets are useful for Wikidata, and they would love to have a tool that can help them assess that automatically. They also need some kind of methodology or tool that helps them decide whether they should import or link their data, because in some cases they also have their own linked open data sets, so they don't know whether to just ingest the data or to keep on creating links from the data set to Wikidata and the other way around. And they also want to know where their websites are referred in Wikidata. And when they run such a query in the query service, they often get timeouts. So maybe we should really create more tools that help them get these answers for the questions. And besides that, we wiki researchers also sometimes lack some information in the edit summaries. So I remember that when we were doing some work to understand the different behavior of editors with tools or bots or anonymous users and so on, we were really lacking, for example, a standard way of tracing that tools were being used. And there are some tools that are already doing that, like PetScan and many others, but maybe we should in the community discuss more about how to record this for fine-grained provenance. And further on, we think that we need to think of more concrete data quality dimensions that are related to linked data, but not other types of data. So we worked on some measures to assess actually the information gain enabled by the links. And what we mean by that is that when we link Wikidata to other data sets, we should also be thinking how much the entities are actually gaining in the classification, also in the description, but also in the vocabularies they use. So just to give a very simple example of what I mean with this is we can think of, in this case would be Wikidata or the external data set that is linking to Wikidata. We have the entity for a person that is called Natasha Noy. We have the affiliation and other things. And then we say, okay, we link to an external place and that entity also has that name. But we actually have the same value. So what it would be better is that we link to something that has a different name that is still valid because this person has two ways of writing the name, and also other information that we don't have in Wikidata or that we don't have in the other data set. But also, what is even better is that we are actually looking in the target data set that they also have new ways of classifying the information. So not only is this a person, but in the other data set, they also say it's a female or anything else that they classify with. And if in the other data set they are using many other vocabularies, that is also helping in the whole information retrieval thing. So with that, I also would like to say that we think that we can showcase federated queries better, because when we look at the query log provided by Malyshev et al., we see actually that from the organic queries, we have only very few federated queries. And actually, federation is one of the key advantages of having linked data. So maybe the community or the people using Wikidata also need more examples on this. And if we look at the list of endpoints that are being used, this is not a complete list, and we have many more. Of course, this data was analyzed from queries until March 2018, but we should look into the list of federated endpoints that we have and see whether we are really using them or not. So, two questions that I have for the audience that maybe we can use afterwards for the discussion are: what data quality problems should be addressed in your opinion because of the needs that you have, but also where do you need more automation to help you with editing or patrolling? That's all. Thank you very much.
Okay, so what I'm going to talk is about some tools that we were developing related with shape expressions. So this is what I want to talk. I'm Jose Emilio Labra, but this has all these tools have been done by different people, mainly related with the W3C sex shape expressions community group, sex community group. So the first tool that I want to mention is RDF shape. This is a general tool, because shape expressions is not only for Wikidata. Shape expressions is a language to validate RDF in general. So this tool was developed mainly by me, and it's a tool to validate RDF in general. So if you want to learn about RDF, or you want to validate RDF or Sparkle endpoints, not only in Wikidata, my advice is that you can use this tool also for teaching. I am a teacher in the university, and I use it in my semantic web course to teach RDF. So if you want to learn RDF, I think it's a good tool. And for example, this is just a visualization of an RDF graph with that tool. But before coming here, in the last month, I started a fork of RDF shape specifically for Wikidata, because I thought that, and it's called Wikishape, and yesterday I presented it as a present for Wikidata. So what I did is to remove all the stuff that was not related with Wikidata, and to put several things hard-coded, for example, the Wikidata Sparkle endpoint. But now someone asked me if I could do it also for Wikibase, and it is very easy to do it for Wikibase also. So this tool, Wikishape, is quite new. I think it works most of the features, but there are some features that maybe don't work, and if you try it and you want to improve it, please tell me. So this is some script captures, but I think I can't even try. So let's try. So let's see if it works. First, I have to go out of the. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So this is the tool here. Things that you can do with the tool, for example, is that you can check schemas, entity schemas. You know that there is a new namespace, which is E whatever. So here, if you start, for example, human, as you are writing, it's autocompletes and allows you to check, for example, this is the shape expressions of a human, and this is the shape expressions here. And as you can see, this editor has syntax highlighting, and this is well, maybe it's very small, the screen. I can try to do it bigger. Maybe you see it better now. So, and this is the editor with syntax highlighting, and also has, I mean, this editor comes from the same source code as the Wikidata query service. So, for example, if you hover with the mouse here, it shows you the labels of the different properties. So I think it's very helpful because now the entity schemas that it has in the that is in the Wikidata is just a plain text area, and I think this editor is much better because it has autocomplete, and it also has, and if you, for example, want to add a constraint, you say WDT colon, you start writing author, and then you click control space, and it suggests the different things. So this is similar to the Wikidata query service, but specifically for shape expressions, because my feeling is that creating shape expressions is not more difficult than writing Sparkle queries. So some people think that it's at the same level, more even it's probably easier, I think, because shape expressions was, when we designed it, shape expressions was, we were trying it to be easier to work. Okay, so this is one of the first things, that you have this editor for shape expressions, but then you also have the possibility, for example, to visualize. You have, if you have a shape expressions, just, for example, I think written work is a nice shape expressions because it has some relationships between different things. And this is the UML visualization of written work in a UML, and this is easy to see the different properties. When you do this, I realize when I try with several people, they find some mistakes in their shape expressions because it's easy to detect which are the missing properties or whatever. Then there another possibility here is that you can also validate. I think I have it here, the validation. I think I had it in some label. Maybe I closed it. Okay, but you can, for example, you can click here, validate entities. You, for example, Q42 with E42, which is the author, or with human. I think we can do it with human. And then it's taking a little while to do it because this is doing the Sparkle queries, and now it's, for example, this failing by the network, but you can try it. Okay, so let's go continue with the presentation with other tools. So I mean, if my advice is that if you want to try it and you want any feedback, let me know. So to continue with the presentation. So this is Wikishape. Then, I already said this, there's the shape expressions editor is an independent project in GitHub. You can use it in your own project. If you want to do a shape expressions tool, you can just embed it in any other project. So this is in GitHub, and you can use it. Then the same author is one of my students. He also created an editor for shape expressions, also inspired by the Wikidata query service, where you have this in a column, you have this more visual editor of Sparkle queries, where you can put this kind of things. So this is a screen capture where you can see that that's the shape expressions in text, but this is a form-based shape expressions. Well, I will probably take a bit longer, where you can put the different rows and the different fields. Okay. Then there is a Sexer. We have it's done by one PhD student at the University of Oviedo, and he's here, so you can present Sexer.
Hi all, I am Dani Fernandez. I am a PhD student in the University of Oviedo working with Labra. And since we are running out of time, let's make this quickly. So let's not go for any actual demo, but just print some screenshots. Okay, so the usual way to work with shape expression or any shape language is that you have a domain expert that defines a priori how the graph should look like, defines some structures, and then you use these structures to validate the actual data against it. This tool, which is as well as the ones that Labra has been presented, this is a general purpose tool for any RDF source, is designed to do the other way around. You already have some data, you select what nodes you want to get the shape about, and then you automatically stratify the shape. So even if this is a general purpose tool, what we did for this Wikidatacon is this fancy button that if you click it, essentially what happens is that well, there are so many configurations params, and it like configures it to work against the Wikidata endpoint, and I will end soon, sorry. Once you press this button, what you get is essentially this. After having selected what kind of nodes, what kind of instances of a class, whatever you are looking for, you get the automatic schema. All the constraints are sorted by how many nodes actually conform to it. You can filter the less common ones, etc. So there is a poster downstairs about this stuff, and well, I will be downstairs and upstairs and all over the place all day. So if you have any further interest in this tool, just pick me during this journey. And now, give back the micro to Labra. Thank you.
So let's continue with the other tools. Well, the other tool is the same designer. Andra, do you want to do the presentation of the designer now, maybe later or in the workshop? There is a workshop. This afternoon there is a workshop specifically for shape expressions, so, and the idea is that workshop will be more hands-on, and if you want to practice some checks, you can do it there. And this tool is checks, and there's Eric here, so you can present.
So just super quick, the thing that I want to say is that you've probably already seen the checks interface that's tailored for Wikidata. That's effectively stripped down and tailored specifically for Wikidata, because the generic one has some more features, but it turns out, I thought I'd mention it, because one of those features is particularly useful for debugging Wikidata schemas, which is if you go and you select the slurp mode, what it does is it says, while I'm validating, I want to pull all the triples down, and that means if I get a bunch of failures, I can go through and start looking at those failures and saying, okay, what are the triples that are in here? I apologize, the triples are down there. This was just the log of what went by. And then you can just sit there and fiddle with it in real time, like you play with something and it changes. So it's a quicker version for doing all that stuff. This is a checks form. This is something Joachim had suggested could be useful for populating Wikidata documents based on a shape expression for that document. This is not tailored for Wikidata, but this is just to say that you can have a schema and you can have some annotations to say specifically how I want that schema rendered, and then it just builds a form. And if you've got data, it can even populate the form.
I think this is the last one. Yes, so this, the last one is PySex. PySex is a Python implementation of shape expressions, and you can play also with Jupyter notebooks if you want those kind of things. Okay, so that's all for sex.
So I'm going to talk about a specific project that I'm involved in called GeneWiki, and where we are also dealing with quality issues. But before going into the quality, maybe a quick introduction about what GeneWiki is. And we just released a preprint of a paper that we recently have written that explains the details of the project. I see people taking pictures, but basically what GeneWiki does, it's trying to get biomedical data, public data, into Wikidata. And we follow up a specific pattern to get that data into Wikidata. So when we have a new repository or a new data set that is eligible to be included into Wikidata, the first step is community engagement. This is not necessarily directly the Wikidata community, but a local research community. And we meet in person or online or in any platform and try to come up with a data model that bridges their data with the Wikidata model. So here I have a picture of a workshop that happened here last year, which was trying to look at a specific data set. And well, you see a lot of discussions, then aligning it with schema.org and other ontologies that are out there. And then at the end of the first step, we have a whiteboard drawing of the schema that we want to implement in Wikidata, where you see over there, which is just plain We have it in the back there, so we can make some schemas within this panel today even. And so once we have that schema in place, the next thing is try to make that schema machine readable. Because you want to have actionable models to bridge the data that you're bringing in from any biomedical database into Wikidata. And here we are applying shape expressions. We use that because shape expressions allow you to test whether the data set is actually, to first see if already existing data in Wikidata follows the same data model that was achieved in the previous process. So then with the shape expression, we can check, okay, the data that are on this topic in Wikidata, does it need some cleaning up, or do we need to adapt our model to the Wikidata model, or vice versa? Once that is in place, and we start writing bots, and the bots are regularly are seeding the information that is in the primary sources into Wikidata. And when the bots are ready, we write these bots with a platform called Python library called the Wikidata Integrator that came out of this our project. And then once we have our bots, we use a platform called Jenkins for continuous integration. And with Jenkins, we continuously update the primary sources with Wikidata. And this is a diagram for the paper I previously mentioned. This is our current landscape. So every orange box out there is a primary resource on drugs, proteins, genes, diseases, chemical compounds with an interaction. And these models, it's too small to read now. But these are the database, the sources that we manage in Wikidata and bridge with the primary sources. So here is such a workflow. So one of our partners is the disease ontology. The disease ontology is a CC0 ontology. And the CC0 ontology has a curation cycle on its own. And they just continuously update the disease ontology to reflect the disease space or the interpretations of diseases. And there is the Wikidata curation cycle, also on diseases where the Wikidata community constantly monitors what's going on Wikidata. And then we have two roles. We call them colloquially the gatekeeper curator. And this was me and a colleague 5 years ago, where we just sit on our computers and we monitor Wikipedia and Wikidata. And if there is an issue that was reported back to the primary community, the primary resources, they looked at the implementation and decided, okay, do we trust the Wikidata input? Yes, then it's considered, it goes into the cycle, and the next iteration is part of the disease ontology, and then fed back into Wikidata. Same as we're doing the same for Wikipathways. So Wikipathways is a MediaWiki inspired pathway repository. Same story. There are different pathway resources on Wikidata already, and there might be conflicts between those pathway resources. And these conflicts are reported back by the gatekeeper curators to that community, and we maintain the individual curation cycles. But if you remember the previous cycle, here I mentioned only two resources. We have to do that for every single resource that we have, and we have to manage what's going on. Because when I say curation, I really mean going to the Wikipedia talk pages, going into the Wikidata talk pages, and trying to do that. That doesn't scale for the two gatekeeper curators we had. So when I was in a conference in 2016, where Eric gave a presentation on shape expressions, I jumped on the bandwagon and said, okay, shape expressions can help us detect what is differences in Wikidata, and so that allows the gatekeepers to have some more efficient reporting to report. So this year, I was delighted by the schema entity, because now we can store those entity schemas on Wikidata itself, whereas before it was on GitHub. And this aligns with the Wikidata interface, so you have things like document discussions, but you also have revisions. So you can leverage the talk pages and the revisions in Wikidata to discuss about what is in Wikidata and what are in the primary resources. So this is Eric just presented. This is already quite benefit. So here we made up a shape expression for the human gene, and then we run it through simple checks, and as you can see, we just get already one. There is one issue that needs to be monitored at, which is an item that it doesn't fit that schema, and then you can sort of already create schema entities. Curation reports based on and send that to the different curation reports. But the Shex.js is built in a phase, and if I can show back here, I only do 10, but we have tens to thousands, and so that again doesn't scale. So the Wikidata integrator now supports Shex support as well, and then we can just loop Python loops where we say. Yes, no, true, false. So again, increasing a bit of the efficiency of dealing with the reports. But now recently, that builds on the Wikidata query service. And well, we recently have been throttling. So again, that doesn't scale. So it's still an ongoing process how to deal with models on Wikidata. And so again, Shex is not only intimidating, but also the scale is just too big to deal with. So and I started working, this is my first proof of concept or exercise where I used a tool called Yet, and I started to drive the draw those shape expressions regenerate this schema into a JSON format of the shape expression. So that would open up already to the audience that are intimidated by the shape expressions languages. But actually, there is a problem with those visual descriptions, because this is also a schema that is actually drawn in YED by someone. And here is another one, which uses which is beautiful. I would love to have this on my wall, but it is still not interoperable. So I want to end my talk with, and it's the first time I've been stealing this slide, using this slide. It's an honor to have him in the audience. And I really like this. I said, people think RDF is a pain because it's complicated. The truth is even worse. It's so simple. But you have to work with real data problems and that are horribly complicated. While you can't avoid RDF, it's hard. It is harder to avoid complicated data and complicated computer problems. This is about RDF, but I think this so applies to modeling as well. So my point of discussion is, should we really, how do we get the modeling going? Should we discuss Shex or visual models, or how do we continue? Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you so much. Would you come to the front so that we can open the questions from the audience? Are there questions? Yes. And I think for the camera, we need to.
So a question for Christina, I think. Hi. So you mentioned exactly the term information gain from linking with other systems. I mean, there is an information theoretic measure used in statistical probability called information gain. Do you have the same, did you mean exactly that measure, the information gain from the probability theory, from information theory, or what's just used this conceptual thing to measure information gain in some way?
No, we actually define and implemented measures that are using the Shannon entropy. So it's meant as that. I didn't want to go into details of the concrete formula.
No, of course, that's why I asked the question.
Yeah,
thank you.
Make more of a comment than a question.
Go for it.
So there's been a lot of focus at the item level about quality and completeness. One of the things that concerns me is that we're not applying the same to hierarchies. And I think we have an issue is that our hierarchy often isn't good. We're seeing this is going to be a real problem with common searching and other things. One of the abilities that we can do is to import the way that external thesauruses structure their hierarchies using the P4900 broader concept qualifier. But what I think would be really helpful would be much better tools for doing that, so that you can import an external thesaurus's hierarchy, map that onto our Wikidata items. Once it's in place with those P4900 qualifiers, you can actually do some quite good querying through Sparkle to see where our hierarchy diverges from that external hierarchy. For instance, Paula Morma, user PKM, you may know, does a lot of work on fashion. So we used that to pull in the Europeana fashion thesaurus's hierarchy and the Getty AAT fashion thesaurus hierarchy, and then see where the gaps were in our higher level items, which is a real problem for us, because often these are things that only exist as disambiguation pages on Wikipedia. So we have a lot of higher level items in our hierarchies missing, and this is something that we must address in terms of quality and completeness. But what would really help would be better tools than the jungle of Perl scripts that I wrote. If somebody could put that into a PAWS notebook in Python to be able to take an external thesaurus, take its hierarchy, which may well be available as linked data or may not, to then put those into quick statements to put in P4900 values. And then later, when our representation gets more complete, to update those P4900s, because as our representation becomes more dense, the values of those qualifiers need to change to represent that we've got more of their hierarchy in our system. If somebody could do that, I think that would be very helpful. And we do need to also look at other approaches to improve quality and completeness at the hierarchy level, not just at the item level.
Can I add to that?
Yes, and we actually do that. And I can recommend looking at the shape expression that Finn made with the lexical data, where he creates shape expressions and then built on other shape expressions. So you have this concept of linked shape expressions in Wikidata. And specifically the use case, if I understand correct, is exactly what we're doing in GeneWiki. So you have the disease ontology, which is put into Wikidata, and then disease data comes in, and we apply the shape expressions to see if that fits with this thesaurus. And there are other thesauruses or the other ontologies or controlled vocabularies that still need to go into Wikidata, and that's exactly why shape expression is so interesting, because you can have a shape expression for the disease ontology, you can have a shape expression for MASH. You can say, okay, now I want to check the quality, because you also have in Wikidata the context of when you have a controlled vocabulary, you say the quality is according to this, but you might have a disagreeing community. So the tooling is indeed in place, but now it's indeed to create those models and apply them on the different use cases.
Back on that, the shape expression is very useful once you have the external ontology mapped into Wikidata. But my problem is that it's getting to that stage. It's working out how much of the external ontology isn't yet in Wikidata and where the gaps are. And that's where I think that having much more robust tools to see where what's missing from external ontologies would be very helpful.
The biggest problem there is not so much tooling, but more licensing. So getting the ontologies into Wikidata is actually a piece of cake, but most of the ontologies have, how can I say that politely, restrictive licensing, so they're not compatible with Wikidata.
There's a huge number of public sector thesauruses in the cultural field.
Oh, then we need to talk. Then we need to talk.
The comment I want to make is actually answer to James. So the thing is that hierarchies make graphs, and when you want to, I want to basically talk about this. A common problem in hierarchies is circular hierarchies. So they come back to each other when there is a problem, which you should not have that in hierarchies. This, funnily enough, happens in categories in Wikipedia a lot. We have lots of circles in categories. But the good news is that technically it's a PMP complete problem, so you cannot find this easily if you build a graph of it. But there are lots of ways that has been developed to find problems in these hierarchy graphs. Like there is a paper called "Finding Circles, Breaking Circles in Noisy Hierarchies," and you can is being used to help categorization of English Wikipedia. You can just take this and apply this in hierarchies on Wikidata, and then you can find things that are problematic and just remove these ones that are causing issues and find the issues actually. So this is this idea, just saying.
That's all very well, but I think you're underestimating the number of bad subclass relations that we have. I mean, it's like having a city in completely the wrong country. And there are tools for geography to identify that. And we need to have much better tools in hierarchies to identify where the equivalent of the item for the country is missing entirely, or where it's actually been subclassed to something that isn't going to complete meaning something completely different.
Yeah, I think you're getting to something that me and my team keeps hearing from people who reuse our data quite a bit as well, right? Individual data points might be great, but if you have to look at the ontology and so on, then it gets very... And I think one of the big problems why this is happening is that a lot of editing on Wikidata happens on the basis of an individual item, right? You make an edit on that item without realizing that this might have very global consequences on the rest of the graph, for example. And if people have ideas around how to make this more visible, the consequences of an individual local edit, I think that would be worth exploring to show people better what the consequence of their edit that they might do in very good faith, what that is. Oh, okay, let's start with you, then you.
Well, after this discussion, just to express my agreement with what James was saying. So essentially, I think the most dangerous thing is the hierarchy, I mean, not the hierarchy, but generally the semantics of the subclass relations in Wikidata, right? So I've been studying languages recently, just for the purposes of this conference, and for example, you find that plenty of cases where a language is a part of and subclass of the same thing, okay? So, you know, you can say we have a flexible ontology. Wikidata gives you freedom to express that, you know, sometimes, because, for example, that ontology of languages is also politically complicated, right? It is even good to be in a position to express a level of uncertainty, right? But imagine anyone who wants to do machine reading from that, right? So that's really problematic. And then again, I don't think that ontology was ever imported from somewhere. That's something which is originally ours. It's harvested from Wikipedia in the very beginning, I would say, right? So I wonder, this shape expressions thing is great. And also validating and fixing, if you like, the Wikidata ontology by external resources. Beautiful idea. In the end, will we end by reflecting the external ontologies in Wikidata? And also, what do we do with the core part of our ontology, which is never harvested from external resources? How do we go and fix that? And I really think that will be a problem on its own. We will have to focus on that independently of the idea of validating ontology with something external.
Okay, and constraints and shapes are very impressive, what we can do with it. But the main point is has not been really made clear. It's because now we can make it more explicit what we expect from the data. Before, each one has to write its own tools and scripts, and so it's more visible and we can discuss about it. But it's because it's not about what's wrong or right, it's about an expectation. And we will have different expectation and discussion about how we want to model things in Wikidata. And the current state is just one step in the direction, because now you need very much technical expertise to get into this, and we need better ways to visualize this constraint, to transform it maybe in natural language so people can better understand, but it's less about what's wrong or right.
So on for quality issues, I just want to echo, like, I've definitely found a lot of the issues I've encountered have been differences in opinion between instance of versus subclass, and I would say errors in those situations, and like trying to find those has been, you know, a very time-consuming process. And what I've found is like, oh, if I find very high impression items that are something, and then use all the subclass instances to find all derived statements of this, this is a very useful way of looking for these errors. But I was curious if shape expressions, like if this can be used as a tool to help resolve those issues. But yeah.
If it has a structural footprint.
If it has a structural footprint that you can, that's sort of falsifiable, you can look at that and say, well, that's wrong, then yeah, you can do that. But if it's just sort of trying to map it to real world objects, then you're just going to need lots and lots of brains.
Hi, Pablo Mendez from Apple Siri Knowledge. We're here to find out how to help the project and the community, but Christina made the mistake of asking what we want. So I think one thing I'd like to see is a lot around verifiability, which is one of the core tenets of the project and the community, and trustworthiness. Not every statement is the same. Some of them are heavily disputed. Some of them are easy to guess, like somebody's date of birth can be verified. As you saw today in the keynote, gender issues are a lot more complicated. Can you discuss a little bit what you know in this area of data quality around trustworthiness and verifiability? If there isn't a lot, I'd love to see a lot more.
Yeah. Apparently, we don't have a lot to say on that.
I think we can do a lot, but I had a discussion with you yesterday. My favorite example I learned yesterday that's already deprecated is if you go to the Q2, which is Earth, there is a statement that claims that the Earth is flat. And I love that example because there is a community out there that claims that and they have verifiable resources. So I think it's a genuine case. It shouldn't be deprecated. It should be in Wikidata. And I think shape expression can be really instrumental there, because what you can say, okay, I'm really interested in this use case. So this is a use case where you disagree, but there can also be a use case where you say, okay, I'm interested. So there is this example where you say, I have glucose. And glucose, when you're a biologist, you don't care for the chemical constraints of the glucose molecule. You just, everything glucose is the same. But if you're a chemist, you cringe when you hear that. You have 200 something. So then you can have multiple shape expressions. Say, okay, now I'm coming in with a metachemist view. I'm applying that. And then you say, I'm having a biological use case. I'm applying that shape expression. And then when you want to collaborate, yes, well, you should talk to Eric about checks maps. But this journey is just starting. But personally, I believe that it's quite instrumental in that area.
Okay, Harmonia?
I had several ideas from some point in the discussion, so I will try not to I had three ideas, so based on what James said so a while ago, we have a very, very big problem on Wikidata since the beginning for the upper ontology. We talked about that 2 years ago at WikidataCon, and we talked about that at Wikimania. We have a Wikidata meeting, we are talking about that, because it's a very big problem at the very, very high level, what entity is, with what work is, what genre is, art, or very the biggest concept. And that's actually a very weak point on our global ontology, because people try to clean up regularly and broke everything down the line. I think some of you may remember the guy who in good faith broke absolutely all cities in the world who were not geographical items anymore. So violation constraint everywhere. And it was in good faith because it was really correcting a mistake in an item, but everything broke down. And I'm not sure how we can solve that because there is actually no external institution we could just copy, because everyone is working on, well, if I am a performing art database, I will just go at the performing art level. I won't go to the philosophical concept of what an entity is. And that's actually, I don't know any database which is working at this level, but that's the weakest point of Wikidata. And probably when we're talking about data quality, that's actually a big part of it. So, and I think it's the same we have stated in, sorry, I'm changing subject, but we have stated in different sessions about qualities, which is actually some of us are doing good modeling job, are doing checks, are doing things like that, and people don't see it on Wikidata. They don't see the checks, they don't see the wiki project and the discussion page, and sometimes they don't even see the talk pages of properties, which explicitly stating, hey, this property is used for that. Like last week, I added a constraint to a property. The constraint was explicitly written in the discussion of the creation of the property. I just created the technical part of adding the constraint. And someone wrote to me, you broke down all my edits. And he was using the property wrongly for the last 2 years. And the property was actually very clear, but there were no warning and everything. And so it's the same at the Pink Pony. We said at Wikimania how to make Wiki project more visible, or to make checks more visible. But, and that's what Christina said, we have a visibility problem of what the existing solutions are. And at this session, we are all talking about how to create more checks, or to facilitate the jobs of the people who are doing the cleanup. But we are cleaning up since the first day of Wikidata. Yep. And globally, we are losing. And we are losing because, well, if I know names are complicated, but I am the only one doing the cleaning up job, the guy who added Latin script name to all Chinese researcher, I will take months to clean that. And I can't do it alone. And he did one massive batch. So we really need, we have a visibility problem more than a tool problem, I think, because we have many tools.
Right. So, unfortunately, I've got shown the sign. So, we need to wrap this up. Thank you so much for your comments. I hope you will continue discussing during the rest of the day. And thanks for your input.